Polls and studies and media interviews are the most common tools for gauging attitudes about race in America. But if you've ever wanted to find out what black and white Americans really say about this subject in the privacy of their own homes, a new PBS documentary does the next best thing, exploring attitudes in a community that was home to one of the most brutal hate crimes in recent history. The film is called The Two Towns of Jasper. It looks at the events following the 1998 murder of James Byrd, a black man who was chained to a pickup truck and dragged to his death by three white supremacists in Jasper, Texas. The documentary was shot by two separate film crews. One all-white team followed white residents in Jasper, and an all-black team filmed black townspeople. The deliberate separation allowed residents to speak with a candor seldom seen and revealed a deeply divided town. Joining us now to talk about the documentary are the two filmmakers, Whitney Dow and Marco Williams. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Marco, did you decide to use two different crews from the very beginning, or once you were there, did you realize that if you separated, that you'd come away with very different things?
No, the decision to make this film was always to approach it with segregated crews. It really was a result of conversations between Whitney and I, a black man and a white man, and a recognition that there are some topics, particularly racial division, that we're more comfortable to speak about with people who are like ourselves, with people who have a common or shared experience.
It becomes evident within the first 10 minutes, really almost within the first 5 minutes, that the townspeople have very different attitudes about this crime. And one of the first clips that you hear is the morticians, and they're describing the crime, and they're describing when they are called to pick up the body, or at least the parts of the body that remain.
Right away we knew, well, I felt, and I told my father at the time, I said, Daddy, some white people had did it. You just had that gut feeling that it was race related.
And then you quickly cut to white residents in the town who gather together regularly for breakfast. And I think, is it called the Bubba's in Training?
That's correct.
James Byrd Jr. spent many pleasant hours here playing music, cards, and dominoes.
And drinking Thunderbird.
Yeah. I thought he spent most of his time in jail.
I still don't think, no matter what kind of person he was, that he should die that way. I think that it's wrong what they done. I think it's very wrong what they done, and I don't think there's any question that they done it. But still, I want the defense to come out and tell who James Byrd was and what he was. Because James Byrd wasn't the pillar of the community that they made him out to be.
I think you ought to be judged by the way you live, not the way you die.
So when you hear those two clips, what does that say?
It says a couple of things. I think that it's always natural to blame the victim in any crime, that we want to find reasons why it's somehow not connected to us or our community. So why was that woman wearing that short skirt? Why was that man out late at night walking the street when he got mugged? You're always trying to find your ways to distance, so that doesn't surprise me. The second thing, though, is that I think that it's as much a reflection of how differently their experiences are as they really felt that this was not any way an indictment of them, where I think the black community, as it goes on later in the film, you know, reveals that how much James Byrd's character didn't matter to them because, in effect, he was them. He wasn't killed for his character. He was killed for the color of his skin.
I would like to play one more clip where this is in the Breakfast Club, and someone is talking about language.
You know, I'm amazed at how easily offended people have become. Well, I don't mind telling you, I was raised with the word nigger, but it had no negative connotation in my life. I was raised to respect people by age, not by color. When the word nigger was used, it was just used to describe a black person. I didn't even know it was an unacceptable word, or shall we say politically incorrect, until somebody said, well, you're not supposed to say nigger, you're supposed to say negro. Well, I've never learned to say the word that way, or African-American.
That's a very, very complex scene. And I get very nervous about, at times, identifying, because I feel it's really easy to look at that scene and say, look at this dumb old man. How could he say that? How could he not know? He's not being honest with himself. He's not being honest with other people in the room. And he's this insensitive guy. As opposed to recognizing it as a valid view of a man who's close to 80, was raised up in the segregated Deep South, and really doesn't understand this new relationship that has changed with the black community. He says, I think what a lot of white people feel, and as he goes on, as the scene goes on, he says, then we're supposed to say Negro, then we're supposed to say African American, and I can't effectively, I don't understand what the rules are.
Marco, when you came together during the course of this film as friends, did you find that it affected your friendship in some way?
I think that the making of the film, and so to say to you that the creativity in the editing room put a stress and strain on the friendship and truly forced us to have to really hear and recognize who the other person was. The sort of collision, if you will, of both racial viewpoints in the editing room was very stressful.
Whitney, did you find that it put some distance between you?
I think certainly it put some distance between us, but I think that it also brought us much closer together in some ways. I mean, it fundamentally changed the nature of our relationship. And who has this opportunity? Who spends this amount of time investigating race across race with someone? I mean, 3.5 years it took us to make this film, and each day, every decision, every discussion in the editing room for a year and a half, every edit came down to race. I mean, that's you know, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but it was true. A simple cutaway discussion would morph into a two-hour discussion on, you know, black leadership or, you know, white institutional racism, whatever it was, that the editor sometimes would pack up and walk out of the room because it really became such a deep debate about what we were trying to represent.
It sounds like it was almost exhausting. Marco, was there ever a moment where you felt like you almost wanted to walk away from this?
Never a moment to walk away. And yes, it was exhausting. And it has left an indelible and profound impact on me and in many ways on my sense of what's possible between black and white Americans. I think that bridging the racial divide is going to be difficult, if not impossible. And it's obviously only not impossible if we don't effort to bridge it.
Marco Williams, Whitney Dow, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dow and Williams are the filmmakers behind the documentary Two Towns of Jasper. It airs next Wednesday on PBS.